Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dr. Reddy's Q3 FY19 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Agarwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Very good morning and good evening to all of you, and thank you for joining us today for the Dr. Reddy's earnings conference call for the third quarter ended 31st December 2018. Earlier during the day, we had released our results, and the same are also posted on our website. This call is being recorded and the transcript shall be made available on our website soon. All the discussion and analysis of this call will be based on the IFRS consolidated financial statements. To discuss the business performance and outlook, we have the leadership team of Dr. Reddy's comprising Mr. Iraj Israeli, our COO, Mr. Soumen Chakravarti, our CFO, Mr. Anil Nambudiripad, who heads the proprietary products business, and the investor relations team. Please note that today's call is a copyrighted material of Dr. Reddy's and cannot be rebroadcasted or attributed in press or media outlets without the company's expressed written consent. Before I proceed with the call, I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor language contained in today's press release also pertains to this conference call. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Soumen Chakravarti, our CFO. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Amit. Greetings to everyone. I am pleased to inform that we have been able to sustain our financial performance in this quarter. Let me take you through the key financial highlights. For this section, all the amounts are translated into US dollar at the convenient translation rate of rupees 69.58. which is the rate as of 31st December 2018. Consolidated revenues for the quarter are rupees 3,850 crores, that is $553 million, and grew 1% both year-on-year and sequential basis. In previous year, we had rupees 130 crore of out-licensing revenue in our proprietary product business, adjusted for which the year-on-year growth would have been 5%. Despite the pricing pressure in some of our key products anyway, arising out of new competition, we were able to grow our revenue, which was supported by improvement in the volumes of existing products, new product launches, contributions from new markets, and favorable forex. Consolidated gross profit margin for the quarter is 53.9%, registering a sequential decline of 110 basis points, which is majorly attributable to the price erosion in the US market. Gross margin for global generics and PSAI were at 57.6% and 30.8% respectively. The SG&A spend for the quarter is rupees 1204 crores, that is $173 million, with a sequential quarter decline of 3% and at similar level on a year-on-year basis. We have been taking several measures on cost optimization, and the same is reflected in our spend trend. The SG&A cost is 31.3% to sales for the current quarter, as against 32.6% for Q2 FY19. R&D spend for the quarter is rupees 367 crores, that is $53 million, and stands at 9.5% of the sales for the quarter. The R&D spend is lower by 21% year-on-year and by 11% on a sequential quarter basis. While certain part of the reduction relates to the productivity improvement initiatives taken by us, it is also lower due to timing gap with respect to certain development related spend. We expect that the R&D spend will increase in next quarter. However, the full year spend is likely to be lower than the preceding year. We continued in our journey towards cost optimization and productivity improvement in the areas of manpower, SG&A, R&D and asset utilization. In line with our objective, we have concluded the sale of the API manufacturing business unit located at JD Metla, Hyderabad. These measures will lead to an improvement in our cost structure and enable us to be leaner and more cost-efficient organization. Other income includes gain of rupees 42 crores on account of sale of the API manufacturing business unit, as aforementioned. The EBITDA for the quarter is rupees 865 crores, that is $124 million, which is around 22.5% of the revenue. The effective tax rate for the quarter is around 16.4%. And ETR for the full year is expected to be lower than our earlier estimate, maybe in the range of 15 to 17%. EPS for the quarter is rupees 29.21. Operating working capital decreased by around 946 crore of rupees, which is $136 million during the quarter. The decrease is primarily attributable to sale of trade receivables and improvement in the DSO in the US market. We invested rupees 153 crore, which is $22 million, towards capital investment in this quarter. The free cash flow generated during this quarter was rupees 1512 crore, which is $217 million, leading to a significant improvement in our net debt equity ratio, which is 0.13 as on 31st December 2018. Foreign currency cash flow hedges for the next 12 months in the form of derivatives for US dollar are approximately $300 million, largely hedged around the range of rupees 69.1 to rupees 73.5 to the dollar. In addition, we have balance sheet hedges of $352 million. We also have foreign currency cash flow hedges of 1,855 million rubles at the rate of rupees 1.08 to the ruble, maturing over next 12 months. With this, I now request Hiresh to take through the key business highlights.
Thank you, Soumen. Greetings to all. Thank you for joining us today for this earnings conference call. Let me begin with the current quarter performance highlights. I am glad to inform you that we continued with our growth momentum in this quarter and have performed well across our businesses. Please note that all references to numbers in this section are in the respective local currencies. The North America generics revenues got stabilized and for the quarter are at $209 million. With a sequential growth of 1% during the quarter, we witnessed decent improvement in the volume uptake that helped us offset the product-specific price declines impacting some of our key products due to new competition. Overall, we see stabilization in the trend at the broader portfolio level. This quarter was very busy in terms of new launch activities, with record number of new launches in a quarter over the last 5 years. In all, we launched 10 new products, including some very exciting limited competition products like Colesabalam, Dipyridamole Aspirin XR, Sevelamer Sachet, Sevelamer Unidose, and Omeprazole OTC Tabs. We are excited about the opportunity, potential, and contribution from these launches and gearing toward the gradual ramp-up over the next few months. We will continue in this journey in the next few quarters and will be fairly busy with multiple and new product launches lined up, including some exciting limited competition opportunities. As communicated earlier, we continue to work toward potential approval and launch of Ginuvaring in the first half of calendar 2019 and that of Gescopaxone in the second half of calendar 2019. on the Jisoo Bakson, as you are all aware that during the quarter, the Court of Appeals of the Federal Circuit issued a decision in company's favor to vacate the preliminary injunction. On December 20, 2018, as part of a standard procedure, Endeavor filed a petition seeking rehearing of the appeal. On this, the court sought our comments, to which we immediately responded. We are awaiting for the court decisions on this matter. Let me also update you on the status of the two warning letter impacted site. In October 2018, the re-inspection for the sterile ejectable plant in Nevada was completed, and the USFDA issued a form for a trees with 8 observations. We have comprehensively responded to this observation, and we just now have received certain specific questions from the NRG seeking further clarification on some of our responses. With respect to the API manufacturing facility in Srikakulam, we have submitted the results of the investigation and responded to all the queries asked by the USFDA and await for re-inspection of the facility. The Euro business recorded sales of 25 million euro with a sequential growth of 5% on the back of improvement in supplies and new launches. During the quarter, we launched 2 products in Germany and 4 products in the UK, including Fonda Parinox. We will continue to launch new products in the future in this market. The emerging market business recorded sales of 774 crore rupees, continuing its strong performance with growth across all key markets. The overall business grew 31% year over year and 3% on a sequential basis. This is all around performance was outcome of 1, healthy growth in the base business, 2, new product launches in existing market, and 3, contribution of the newer market. These geographies are expected to remain a major growth driver for the company over the next few years. The India business are at 674 crores rupees with a year-on-year growth of 10% and a sequential seasonal decline of 2%. As per the IMS, we have performed better than the market for the 3 months ending November 2018. As a result of this sustained performance, our ranking improved by 1 place. India is a priority market for us, and we remain committed to consistently improve our performance and grow better than the overall market. The PCI business revenue are at $83 million, a year-on-year decline of 1% and a sequential decline of 5%. We believe that the changes in the API landscape has created opportunity for us, and we are preparing ourselves to serve the market. On our proprietary products business, we recently received USFDA approval for our transal sumatriptan DFNO2 under the brand name Tosimra. We believe Tosimra has a favorable profile to benefit a large segment of migraine patients whose episodes are not optimally controlled with their current treatment, particularly orals. Pre-launch activities are underway, and we are preparing for a launch in the next few months. On the R&D front, progress on our key pipeline program is on track. During this quarter, we have filed 3 ANDAs in the U.S. market, and as of 31st of December 2018, we have 103 cumulative filings pending for approval within the USFDA, which includes 100 ANDAs and 3 NDAs. The NDA filing rate will improve further in the next quarter. For our biosimilar business, we have started the phase 3 trial for rituximab for developed market. For our proprietary product business, we expect to file the NDA for DFN-15 by Q1 FY20. Development on ECO-7 for CTCL indication in the U.S. is on track, and we expect to file the BLA by Q1 FY21. On the business development, in line with our recently stated growth strategy, we have started to divest non-core assets, and we will further continue to do more of this, which will help us to focus and channel our resources toward growth spaces. We also look forward to inorganic growth opportunity with right return on investments. Overall, we feel quite optimistic about our 6 chosen spaces: US generic, India, Russia, China, API, and global hospital business. We have started to make the right moves with focus on profitable growth, shareholder returns, cost efficiency, and quality. Let me share with you some quick updates on the additions to our senior leadership team. I am pleased to announce that Mark Kikuchi has joined us as the head of North America generics business. Mark brings with him extensive knowledge and vast experience in the generic space. During the quarter, we also onboarded Sandeep Khandelwal as India business head and Dmitry Sovetkin as Russia business head. These new leaders, along with our existing strong leadership team, will help improve our key business processes and drive growth for the company in chosen strategic spaces, and will enable the company to exploit its potential. And with that, I now open the floor for questions and answers.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nitesh Jain from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yep.
Yeah, hi, this is Prakash. I just wanted to check on 2 things. One is the gross margins. So the business has grown, and especially the branded generics businesses have grown, which is India and Russia. So I'm not able to understand why the gross margin is so low. Would it be due to the, the US pressure for key products? And then what is the concentration risk on the top 5 and top 10 products in the US? Thank you.
So you got it right, and you know it is the UX which is the primary contributor for this sequential decline. And but it is not that low. We have been already saying that quarter to quarter there would be fluctuations in the gross margin, and it is definitely within the range that we have put it. See, we have been able to sustain the margin despite a lot of price erosions in the past, because of a lot of focus that we have been putting on, productivity improvement and cost. So, so this is here we have got 53.9% for the quarter. It is very much within the range that we target.
And any particular product and which would be in the base, sir?
No, it depends on you are comparing with which. Suppose you compare with the same quarter last year, then last year same quarter we had the 7-Amel launch, which was a very high-value product. No, then if you compare with that, U.S. market you were saying, no?
Yes, sir.
So then if you compare on that basis, definitely, that would contribute to both in terms of the, top line as well as on the margin, it contributes.
Okay. And are you sharing the concentration risk, please? Top 5, top 10?
Our concentration risk has come down, initially. So if you take a 40% of the revenue in USA in earlier years, suppose it would have been in just 5 molecules or so. Now it is almost 10 molecules, which contributes to 40%. So to that extent, our concentration risk has reduced.
Perfect. Great. And lastly, on the net debt, which you mentioned as significantly come down due to lower working capital also. What really has happened? I mean, you mentioned 2 things on the reduction in working capital. If you could give more color on that. And secondly, what are our thoughts on using the low leverage we have? Are we looking for something in the specialty area or more complex area in the US? Are we open to that idea?
So first, to clarify about the free cash flow in the first quarter, it was actually negative, which was compensated in the second quarter. In this quarter, we have significantly good free cash flow we generated. And there the working capital has contributed because the decrease is on 946 crores. So one of the things that we have introduced this quarter is factoring of, you know, whatever receivables that we have got in USA. Some part of it we have been selling. And then otherwise there is a overall improvement in the receivables all across the businesses. And some improvement in payable as well. Inventory will have to still improve. There is scope, but if and then when we launch some new products, then definitely on inventory front also there is a further scope of improvement. Now, our net debt to equity ratio is very healthy now at 0.13. But, you know, we as a company are more prudent in terms of taking financial risk. You know, because there will be always an operational risk which is there. Now, in terms of opportunities, there will be always opportunities to expand in, you know, several of the business in our chosen spaces, which, you know, Iris can again highlight. And it all depends on, you know, whichever comes across are attractive, and after doing diligence, if we feel something worthwhile, we will not hesitate, because that is also one area of, you know, growth, not only organic, but also inorganic growth. But we are not specifically committing ourselves that it is in the, you know, specialty or any such thing.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir. So if you look at the improvement in the ex-US business in the last couple of quarters, obviously, you know, there has been a pickup in India and Russia. If you could just give some color on what specifically we are doing in this market to see this, you know, growth momentum.
No, while Iresh can dwell it on more, but I wanted to clarify that emerging markets, the growth in rest of the markets other than Russia is higher than the growth in Russia. Russia would have grown by, say, 22%, whereas in CIS countries and rest of the world, the growth is very close to 40. Even overall, 31% has been a growth in emerging markets. And India, of course, year on year, it is 10%.
In respective of the content of this growth, in the case of Russia, it's primarily the big brands that performed very, very well. Actually 9 months by now. So this is, we have a lot of confidence in those brands and we'll continue to invest in them. As the rest of the world, this is primarily hospital products. It's a combination of penetrating with our, especially oncology products to some of the markets, plus yield of a portfolio that was submitted and now getting matures in places like Latin America, or the relaunch of Omez in the Romania and some other areas. Overall, it's a great performance, plus these markets are fairly profitable, so we are encouraged by this performance.
And what about India, sir?
India is growing nicely. It's for us, we continue to see the growth and we continue to perform well in this market. In addition to that, we had a new leadership team. I mentioned Sandeep and introduced him also in this call, in addition to other members that came. And we are both executing this year, plus preparing yourself for further growth in the next coming quarters and years.
Understood, sir. And my second question is, you know, on the cost. While SG&A, you know, has improved partly because of, you know, FX, et cetera, in the last quarter, the reduction in R&D, you mentioned that, you know, some of it could is timing issue. As we, you know, look at more, you know, over the next 2 years, you know, given we have talked about making proprietary and biosimilar self-sustaining, how should we look at R&D run rate?
So normally, on an absolute basis, we have been spending $250 to $300 million on R&D. But 60% of that we spend in generics, including API. Remaining 40% we allocated to first proprietary products, and that is a maximum, then biosimilar, and small percentage in origin and other. So that's how it has been traditionally. So this year also we planned for a similar level or absolute spend. The way it stands today, it looks like it will be a bit lower than what we initially estimated, and that definitely factors in the kind of productivity improvement which is happening also in IPD area, because we have not reduced the intensity of R&D in any side at all. And going forward, in order to make proprietary products and biologics more self-sustainable, we are looking at various options to how to do it, because we got a good pipeline in biosimilar, and if we have to take it for US and Europe market, it calls for the right kind of funding. So we are looking at options, and we'll get back to you as and when we finalize some options.
As related for the generics, naturally the growth that are expected in places like China, India, and Russia will require some R&D resources. So overall, we are looking for how overall the R&D will contribute. R&D naturally is very important for us. It was and will continue to be our main growth engines. Overall, we want to contain the overall spend of R&D primarily on efficiency while we want to develop more products. So actually the yield that we are expecting from R&D is more products than we previously did in recent years.
And so just one follow-up question. On the, you mentioned that the filing run rate is expected to pick up. Could you give some color as to, you know, what is the number that we're looking at given we want to expand our U.S. portfolio?
In Q4 itself will be, you know, much more than cumulatively what you have done in the three quarters for USA market. But as Viresh said, there is a lot of R&D efforts are going on for various other markets, including, you know, China and many other emerging markets and India. So overall, ask rate from R&D is much higher. And he spoke about the generics area.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from Sangeeta Purushottam from Cogito Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. I just wanted to understand what do we see as the growth drivers for the top line as well as profitability going forward? You know, this year, a significant part of the profit improvement has happened because of a strong control in costs and some stabilization in the U.S. operations. Now, going forward into next year and the year after, how should we think about it? Do we think that the cost improvement will continue? And do we see any kind of pickup happening in the U.S. market in terms of the base business, or is it going to be driven primarily by the launch of the products which are in the pipeline, the specialty generics?
So on the current growth, just to add to what you said, is naturally the performance in India and the emerging markets. This is a major contributor to growth also this year, so just to add to the two components that you mentioned.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we had also a great effort on the balance sheet, and overall there is a big improvement in many, many fronts of the company. We are planning to continue with that. Also next year there will be a major focus on cost. We believe that there is also further room for improving productivity, and we are planning to do so, while planning to grow and gearing for that in all six spaces that we mentioned. So all six spaces are gearing to grow. Exactly how much, we are not giving guidance, but this is the general expectation.
Okay.
Just a follow-up question. In terms of the past performance, if you could tell us, you mentioned that you managed to contain price erosion by a mixture of volume increase in existing business and new launches. Now, could you break that up for me? For example, have you, can you break that up from the existing business and new business in, let's say, by key geographies such as the US as to what has actually happened in the past? And how do you see this price erosion going forward? Do you see it as having kind of stabilized, or do you see it continuing to happen over the next 12 months, particularly in the US?
So may I know who is speaking? Because Sangeeta was speaking earlier and suddenly you came in. May I know who is?
Yeah, I'm her partner, Andre Purushottam.
Okay.
Yeah.
can you, because you asked too many questions, so can you again break up one by one and we can respond?
Yes.
One question at a time and I will respond.
So to repeat my question, I was saying if you analyze the performance of the last 12 months, you've said that you've managed to keep your revenues flat by a mixture of increased volume from existing business and by new business launches. So I just wanted to break up of how that has happened. So how much of volume increase have you experienced? How much of price erosion you have experienced, and how much of gain in new business have you experienced? That's question one. And the second part is really...
Let me respond to that part before you put to the second. So it is not two. We just said there are four factors.
Right.
Volumes of existing products, new product launch, contribution from new markets, and also favorable Forex.
Right.
We'll have to understand that the last year dollar to rupee was much lower than what it is currently going on. So all
right.
these factors have contributed.
Right.
Now in a market-wise, I mean, in different market, the ratio will be different. U.S.
Right.
market will be different, Russia will be different. For example, in Russia, apart from performing very well in some of the mega brands that we have there, we also have a new product there this year, which has also, contributed significantly. Now, so far as U.S. is concerned, there has been, price erosion, which is applicable for the industry. For us also, there would have been, a few products on which there have been much more competition. So, consequent erosions will look more on those specific products. And so... the ratios are very difficult to give at a granular level like that, but we have a lot of information for the company. We provide in 6K, and I am happy to announce that this time we have filed 6K today itself. I mean, as we are speaking, we just filed 6K. So maybe, all of you who are in the call can just refer to the 6K we are filing along with our result announcement today. Normally, there are some days gap which used to happen in all the quarters. This quarter, we have been able to do it simultaneously. So, can you get into your second question?
Yeah. How do you see the price erosion, particularly in the U.S. market, panning out over the next 12 months for the industry as a whole and for you?
I wish I could predict price decrease. So... If I could do that, I would be very rich man by now. I can tell you what we see. We don't see equalization anymore. This is over. When we see competition at specific products, naturally there is a price decrease. We believe that this will continue to happen. Products that we recently launched, naturally, we'll see also price erosion over time when more competitors will come. So this dynamics was and will continue to be in the U.S. market. And we need to address it, and this is what we are planning because of the nature of our portfolio, as the nature of our portfolio is promising and the base is relatively low. We believe that we can offset it with new launches, efficiencies, cost reduction, and market share.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, We'd like to inform participants that in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Swami, one question is on PSA business. We have reported gross margin almost 31%. I mean, that's like one of the highest we have reported in the last 4 or 5 years. Is this a new normal or when does it moderate for us?
So first, I have always maintained in the past that there will be quarterly fluctuation. Even when we talk about PSAI business segment, there is API and there is CPS. And between the two, obviously, we get more contribution from CPS, even though in terms of the margin, but even though the API is a larger part of the business. So when we get a very good kind of an order for CPS with a high margin, that can increase the margin. When it is, you know, normal, that will be a reduction. Similarly, at API, the kind of margin that we are having is, it is very difficult to say that it will be at a particular level every quarter. There will be fluctuation. But our endeavor is to get a gross margin level of 30% for PSA segment.
Okay. So CPS orders are typically for 6 months or less than 1 year duration. So that's the way we should take it. Unless we repeat this kind of performance, this good performance may continue for another 1 or 2 quarters.
See, it always depends. We continually scout for new customers and new kind of requirement even for CPS. So it goes on, you know, it is like a flow. So you cannot say a specific order which will be there for a few months. It all depends on when you get and when you really deliver and what kind of improvement of margin is happening specifically in that quarter. So that's why I'm saying, you know, when you really talk about a sustenance of a margin, there could be some quarters where it is, you know, much lesser than our expectation, but some quarter which could be even higher. But target-wise, it is at that level.
Sure, that's helpful. And one question I had on the personal cost. Now, for the first 9 months, we have seen personal cost increase by 4% year on year. Is this the trend you expect for full fiscal 19 as a whole, that personal cost increase remain around mid-single digit?
So first, normally if you have seen Dr. Reddy's manpower cost has been on a higher side, compared to even industry, we have been on a higher side. And trend-wise, there would have been always, you know, every year there would have been an increase year to year. Last 2 years, specifically the previous financial year, in the current financial year, we have been able to contain the manpower cost very well. And there are some portions of the manpower cost which will be because we have a large number of people who are employed overseas. And if there is a, you know, year on year, if there is a forex rate goes up, well, the forex has a favorable thing on our top line and margin, but so far as some of these costs, including material and this manpower, it works in a negative way. So on a constant currency basis, if you really look at, we have been doing a very good containment of manpower cost on the back of the productivity improvement initiatives that we have been having.
Yeah, that's helpful, but can we assume around a mid-single digit kind of growth rate at constant currency?
You know very well that we really do not give financial guidance to that extent that you can do an exact, you know, model for yourself. We help you in some of the areas within a specific range. We have been telling you that we have been focusing a lot on productivity improvement. And some of the explanations beyond that, I cannot be more specific.
Sure, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Sir, I have a few questions on the proprietary product business. First on DFN-02, I'm just wondering, is the label in line with what you have expected, and how should we think about launch and cost associated with, and if you have any peak sales expectation that you would like to share?
I can take that question. Hi, Sayan, this is Anil. The label for DFN-02 is very much in line with what we had expected. So in terms of onset of response and the efficacy rates, we are in the middle of preparing for launch. At the same time, we are looking at other options as well to see whether we can expand through partnerships and so on. As far as peak sales go, it hasn't changed from what guidance we have given in the past. Our market research clearly indicates that there is a large number of migraine patients today who can benefit from the properties of this drug. And as far as guidance for the peak sales, I think it's in line, and we have spoken before about it as well.
And on the costs, in terms of launch-related costs, anything we should, if it's material, we should factor in our estimates?
I cannot comment on the exact cost for launch. It will be typical of any specialty product. We expect it to be slightly higher than what we have invested to launch Zembrace, because this is a much larger product and a larger prescriber base. We expect the sales force to increase by around 15% or so, and adequate marketing investments to make sure that there is significant awareness of this product as it comes onto the market.
Okay. So just one follow-up on, the filings for some of the other products which you mentioned in your opening remarks. On DFT-03, you have not made any mention there. So what's the status? Are we still, progressing with that product?
We are making certain determinations in terms of whether what the market potential for that drug will be. So at this point, I cannot comment on what our plans are with this product.
Okay. And just one more question, sir. On the PSAI front, you mentioned about, some strength in the API business. Actually, this segment has been stagnant for many years now. So how should we think about PSAI business as a whole, from a growth perspective going forward?
The PSAI will go. We are now focusing on it. And give its importance. There are a couple of reasons why we believe that it will not be stagnant in the future. One is the product that we are working on, and second is the fact that the competitive landscape is changing as we speak. We discussed quite a few times about the changes in China. This is naturally still relevant. And I believe that the primary focus for us is to give attention to those areas that we believe we can grow and execute on them. So for us, it's a space for growth.
Okay. Thank you. And I'll jump back to you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks, and good evening, everyone. Just following up on both Novaring and Copaxone, Eris, you gave us the timelines, but just want to understand a bit more what's behind these timelines. Last I remember, you had responded to FDA in full. So is there anything which is pending for these two products? Did FDA come back, and are there any pending queries?
We are getting, we are in the weekly and bi-weekly calls with the FDA, so we are receiving questions and queries on the product, nothing that in form of CR, and we are addressing those questions. So it looks like that these timelines are still on track as we discussed last time.
Okay. Great. And you would say your answer applies to both these products in equal measure, or is NuvaRing, you know, a bigger priority for FDA versus Copaxone?
The timelines are different because the NuvaRing is a pipeline. So with NuvaRing we expect 6 months, and with Copaxone we expect 10 months. We are still in that area of expectation, subject to the fact that we'll not get another CRL.
Okay, great. And just on biosimilar areas, I missed here that the name of the products for which you are targeting the BLA filings.
This is Eco7. This is it's an asset that that we acquired years ago, and it just has biologic application. So this is the product that we called Eco7, like E4x7.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. And you said one more product, I thought.
No, this is the product that I mentioned.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. And just talking about Rituxan, where you mentioned that you're taking into phase 3 clinicals. I'm just wondering because, you know, we are at the cusp of market opening up in U.S. and Europe is already open. So in all likelihood, all things going right, you would be the fifth or a sixth player. Does it make any sense to put money behind these kind of assets?
We use the US FDA as opening gates for many, many markets that wants to get the US quality and they don't have their own standards. So it's not necessarily to launch in the US. If it will not make sense to launch in the US, we will not do that. We will not lose money on that.
Okay, that helps. And sorry, with your permission, two more, if you don't mind. One is on the receivable. Swamin, what has changed for receivable to have come down so dramatically? Are the contractual terms changing with your customers for the US?
I mentioned in USA we have started factoring. Then we have been selling some receivables with a very small discount factor. So that is helping. Beyond that, there were earlier receivables which we have got in this quarter. Overall, there is an improvement in the receivable as well as in the payable side. Only thing I said that the other part of the working capital, which is inventory, there is opportunity, but we have still, we'll have to move towards that direction. Maybe with some of the launches, there will be improvement in that front.
Okay, and one, thanks, Swamin. And one final one for the U.S. market. Eris, how is the market behaving in terms of, you talked about volume gains over there. What was driving? Are you seeing competitors exit, and that's what's driving your market share and volume gains?
We are giving a great service to the U.S. customers, and they like us.
Sorry. why are they liking you now more than what they had liked you for the last few quarters and years?
I guess we are giving a better service. Seriously, we do see certain opportunities on the current molecules. And in terms of supply situation, it's a mix of supply situation and our ability to gain share because of certain agreements with the customers, and focus. It's always work.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Sheth from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thanks for this opportunity. Just one clarification about the products that had been procured from Teva, the Rosarem. Is it a calendar 19 opportunity?
Yes, absolutely. We mentioned that it's in the first half of fiscal 19.
Okay. And and similarly, yes, one
calendar
question 19,
on the... Calendar 19. Yeah, I said fiscal, I meant calendar, yeah, so.
Okay. And quick question on the taxes also. that, okay, since last couple of quarters or last three quarters, we are witnessing a significantly lower tax rate, whereas the guidance was something higher for the full year. So whether this is a new norm that we are seeing currently or what is it, any guidance for the for future period?
So what I said is what could be for this year, what would be for the future years, I'll be able to only give you some indication at the beginning of that year as we complete our planning process for that year. See, this time it was lower. Primarily there are three reasons, and you can, when you read 6K, you will find there. One, last year, you see there was this reduction of the federal income tax rate, which was 35 to 21. So because of that, you know, there was a higher tax implication. So year-on-year comparison, that factors. But this particular quarter, there have been two things which has happened. There is some resolution of a certain tax matter in company's favor, which results in reversal of some income tax expense pertaining to earlier years. And also, there is some claim of deduction of an item in the current quarter, which was previously disallowed for tax purpose. So these are things which in the beginning of the year we could not factor in or estimate. And let's say now, for the year, we feel our ETR could be in the range of 15 to 17. But next year, I will be able to tell you when we are announcing the full year result.
Fine, sir. Just one more question on the growth outlook. See, where about the revenue growth, you have indicated that, okay, it is the emerging market, India, which will be driving. You have also emphasized more on the new market entries. So can you indicate something more on the new market aspect, and what is your growth outlook for the US business considering the price indication what you have given earlier, and considering the kind of a pipeline here of what you have provided a hint on?
So just to make sure that first time, naturally we are not giving guidance, but we did indicate that all six spaces, not just the spaces that you mentioned, are going to grow, including the United States, including the other spaces. Specifically for the other markets, there are a bunch of small countries that in each one of them are primarily based on either biologics or hospital products as a primary space, that each one of them picking up primarily based on B2B model that doesn't require a lot of S&M activity. And here we are leveraging our portfolio that was developed for the U.S. and selling it in markets that do need these products.
Okay. And any indication that you're providing for US? I know that, okay, you're not giving any guidance, but last 2 years we have been seeing a kind of a declining trend there.
The reason that we are not giving guidance is because you never know in the US, you know, you can get 60% discount, you can get 90% discount, you can get 10% market share, you can get 40% market share. So we cannot predict that well. But overall, our portfolio is promising, and we are in a very, very good wave of launches.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. So on the emerging market business, we've had two very solid quarters in ROW business. Just want to check, should we take the base, the number that you've, the revenue that you've done in the last quarter as a base for this business, or there is going to be an element of lumpiness in this business given that there is a patient of hospital business probably driving this business?
So, if you open a new market, for example, say Colombia, we opened 2-3 years back. And this was one country where we became profitable and started making an impact right from the year one itself. Brazil, even though this is not the first time we have got into Brazil, but this time when we have gone to Brazil, backed on these, you know, hospital products and oncology and all the complex generics which we are leveraging out of the US complex generics portfolio, the growth has been very good. So the thing is, there are opportunities, but it is completely linked with the kind of product that you can launch in these markets and then, you know, how much you can grow. And already I said that is as a global hospital business will be one of our, you know, focus area, and we expect to grow there.
Okay. Thanks. And secondly, on the US, you know, we keep going back to the top three products, which are the three firing that we have. So, you know, from just an overall perspective, for the next 2 years, how much of our growth would be really contingent on how well we do on these products? I mean, in a broad qualitative sense, how would you sort of explain that bit?
See, there are, 103 NDAs which are pending approval as on date. And we have been continuing to file. So, yeah, these three products are prominent. We have been discussing over time. And these are very, very important. And it can provide a very key impetus for our growth there. But the reason that we are spending so much on R&D is with the expectation of creating value in several markets, and US is the very key market for us to create that kind of value.
Okay. And then second, the last one on R&D, how should we look at R&D spends going forward? As a percentage of revenues, is there a range that you should be looking at, or in absolute dollar terms, growth in dollar terms? I mean, how are we looking at our R&D spend view over the next couple of years?
So as I said, maybe, this year there is an improvement in the productivity. Quarter on quarter, there could be some, timing issues. But overall for the year, it could be slightly lower than what we normally would have been spending. But as a ballpark figure, $250 to $300 million per year on an absolute basis is a right kind of indication of the R&D commitment for us. As a percentage of sales, it will depend on how much sales we are generating. So, what to take on an absolute basis.
Okay, Professor. Thank you. Best luck.
Thank you. The next question is from Anuj Mumeya from ValueQuest Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. So, can you let us know what is the status of Revlimid litigation? Where are we in that?
Which litigation?
Revlimid.
You are talking about lenalumab?
Yeah.
Just to make sure.
Yeah.
Revlimid.
Yeah. Sorry, we did not pick up the question, so I'll take it. We are basically there are three fronts on this product, whether are the indication patents or the polymer patents, and we have of course the REMS patent. So for each one of them, we are proceeding nicely with all fronts. We believe that we have a very, very good position on this one.
So when are the hearings on these litigations that you are in? Any timeline you can suggest for this?
We are not providing timelines. Once it will come, we will know.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Due to time constraints, we'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today for the conference. In case of any further query, please reach out to the investor relations team. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Dr. Reddy Laboratories Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.